Hey, and welcome to the Stay Wild Trauma Child podcast. I'm Steph.
And I'm Jamie, your trauma tour guides. Please keep your hands, arms, and legs.
Oh, Jamie. Yeah. We're their hosts.
As I was saying, we are two best friends that are openly sharing their healing journeys while navigating sudden loss, parenthood, relationships, mental health, and so much more.
So this is your trigger warning that Jamie and I will be discussing highly sensitive topics, including abuse, domestic violence, and murder in most, if not all, of our episodes.
We aren't for the faint of heart. We cuss like sailors, and we have a pretty dark sense of humor. So if either of those things bother you, this is where your tour ends.
Oh, hey, Jamie. Yeah. Don't forget to tell them that we aren't medical professionals.
Oh, yeah. We're definitely not medical professionals, but we probably need them.
So grab your favorite drink, get cozy, and get ready for a whole lot of laughs and maybe even a little bit of healing. So one of the best ways I've ever heard grief explained is it's like the ocean and it comes in waves. And some days those waves are soft and they're small. And then sometimes you can even take this as like a day. Sometimes the waves start to get bigger throughout the day. And as the waves get bigger, the feelings get stronger and they're more consuming, to the point where you feel like you have 50-foot waves smashing down on you.
Mm-hmm.
But then, as time goes on, those waves get smaller again. And smaller and smaller, and it's less intense. And sometimes the time between those big waves and the small waves gets longer.
Mm-hmm.
So...
And then sometimes a hurricane comes.
Yeah, absolutely fucking lutely.
And then sometimes you get caught in the undertow.
Yeah, and it can be, it's... And I think using the ocean as a representation, it's literally like... It's like watching fucking Deadliest Catch. When those boats are like... They're fucking just flowing along. And then all of a sudden, there's a fucking iceberg. And the next thing you see is a 20-foot wave just comes up over the side of the boat and slams down on the deck. Like, that is literally one of the best representations of grief. Is that it literally just washes over you and knocks you flat on your ass. You can be having a great fucking day. You get in your car, you turn it on, and one fucking song comes on.
That's all it takes.
Or somebody says something that you only ever heard that person say. Or you hear a joke and you're like, oh shit, I want to call Matt and tell him that joke. Or I want to call Emily and tell her this. And then you're like, fuck, I can't pick up the phone and call them. You know what I mean? Or you're having a good day. You get a promotion at work and you want to call them. And you can't. Like, it's... Sometimes it's something small that smacks you in the face and you're like, fuck, I really wish they were here. And sometimes it's big because it's a holiday or it's a vacation and you're like, they should be here. You know, like, I know part of the reason why my emotions have been up and down is because Christmas is coming. And Matt fucking loved Christmas.
And Rudolph.
Yes, and Rudolph.
Yeah, I know in previous episodes we've talked about how, like, Emily showed me, because I was very broken, like, and you were, parts of you were broken, like, Emily and Matt kind of basically filled those pieces and filled those parts of our lives that, like, helped us not be complete, because no one can make you complete or feel whole except for yourself, but, like, the reality of it is that we're human. Like, you can love yourself, but, like, I'm going to say something controversial. Like, yes, you can love yourself fully and all of who you are, the good and the bad, but, like, to be the ultimate idea of the picture of you and who you picture in your head, of, like, your goals and who you want to be, again, like, you love yourself as you are now, like, I'm slowly realizing, and I used to think, like, Emily showed me and gave me the support to be, like, and so now I have to be that for myself. You know, and I've spent the last many months trying to be that for myself and, like, you know, continuing doing what I was doing and getting on meds and getting healthy and getting on a routine and, like, doing all of these things and working myself fucking tirelessly. And I'm like, I will never be all of that. She had a soul print and I will never be her, and I can never provide to me what she did to me. And it's kind of slowly made me realize, like, we are human. The human experience is not meant to happen alone. And like, while you can love yourself wholly and fully entirely, like the pieces that are you, the pieces that are missing, whatever, like, we're not meant to do this alone, and we do need support, and we do need that help, and we do need everything else. So like, I think when people find those true connections that kind of help them, help support them in being the person that they dream to achieve to be one day, and then you lose it, it's like, fuck, that sucks. Like, I can only do so much. I'm only one person.
Mm-hmm.
But there are things that I struggle with and I can get better, but like, damn, they made my life easier in this aspect.
So I remember seeing a video that changed my thoughts on certain things, like when it comes to relationships. And I know I'm totally the type of person that's like, I'm not in a relationship because I need to be in a relationship. I'm in a relationship because I want to be in a relationship. And I remember seeing a video from this guy, and I think I've probably shared it with you because that's all we did for ever is send TikToks back and forth. But anyways, this guy was talking about how he was like, I absolutely need my wife in my life. And he's like, mm-hmm. Now, I don't need her to survive. He's like, that I can do without her. If you tell me that the next week is going to be the hardest week of my life, and you ask me what is the one thing I need to get through that week, I'm going to tell you it's my wife.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because she brings out the best in me. She is... He could get through that week without her, but he doesn't want to.
Yes, and he could be that person that she helps him be.
Yes.
But like, God damn, is it infinitely easier. It's infinitely easier. And like, why? Why do we as humans, well, I know the answer. I'm just irritated as fuck about it. But like, why do we feel the need to be like, to prove something to everyone? Like, we are like these superhumans and these powerhouses and we can do it all by ourselves. Like, it is so utterly annoying. And I used to have that independence about me for so long. And then you bring me up here. And everything that has happened has happened. Like, and it has been as equally good as it has been bad. And I wouldn't take the experience moving to Washington back for anything. But, like, if anything, it has completely broken me. Like, snapped me in half like a popsicle stick. Like, I was really, really broken before Emily. And then moving here. So it's, like, the best and the worst thing. And I know I've said that a lot about the Emily situation. And, like, watching you lose Matt, like, and then Pam right before that, like, just my soul was crushed. But then here, it was like I was trying to be some ideal image of, like, I don't know, just something. And then I'm like, you know, fuck it. I need people. I'm so done trying to be. And there's literally no shame in asking for fucking help. Like, I struggled to remember. And I was explaining this to Zach the other night. I'm like, I'm not lazy. Like, I'm the farthest thing from lazy, and I'm so done calling myself lazy, and I'm so done fucking being perceived as it. Not from, like, my friends or anyone. And, like, the outside world is probably like, what? Like, because I don't really come off that way, I guess. But from, like, my mother or, like, the things I tell myself, or it's more or less that, like, the reality of it is, and I'm not a huge lean on your mental illness crutch like type of person, but the reality is, like, my brain functions differently. I have ADHD. I have object permanence. I struggle with that. So I literally can have shit written on the calendar right there and forget to look at the calendar.
Mm-hmm.
I can have a sticky note taped to the coffee machine that says, look at the calendar. And then I make the coffee, and it, like that, in a split 3 seconds, I will have forgotten what the sticky note said that I just removed from the coffee pot. Medication, no medication, therapy, no therapy. Like, it's just how my brain is fucking wired. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's not a conscious choice to forget to do these important things. It's, and some days I'm on it. And so I think that's why it's been such a disappointment for people who haven't tried to understand, because they're like, I don't get you, Jamie. Like, for 2 to 3 weeks, like, you're on it and you can remember to do this, this, and this. And then, like, we have a following 3 to 4 to 5 weeks where it's like, you can't even remember to do X, Y, and Z, and or the same things you were doing. And it's like, I can't explain it. Like, and I've gotten a whole lot better as I've aged, but I'm so not ashamed anymore. I'm just not ashamed anymore. Like, and I told Zach, I'm like, I need you to help hold me accountable. And be like, have you looked at the count? That's all you need to do. I've written a textbook for myself of how to do life on this calendar. Everything I need is here. I just need you to remind me it's there on the wall. And it mm-hmm. seems like the stupidest thing because it's the biggest fucking thing in my kitchen. I should be able to see it,
mm-hmm.
but I don't. And, like, I spent a long time up here hating myself and thinking something was so wrong with me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm like, you know what? Like, there's people that are skilled at remembering to look at a calendar. It's not hard for them. So, like, why not just ask them? Because it's not a burden. That's like you texting me and be like, have you drank your water today? Because that's something that you do. It's a skill that you have acquired.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so, you know, like, it's not an extra thing for you to remind me to do that.
No.
Not that you do, like, and now I'm a hydrated bitch. I've accomplished that.
Well, and I think a lot of it, too, is, so, personally, I've noticed that I've become much more scatterbrained. And I never, mm-hmm. and I don't want to say that I never was. Like, I definitely had moments where I forgot my train of thought or this, that, and the other. But, like, I've noticed it a lot more, like, when Robert and I are in the store, and we'll be grocery shopping, and if I haven't written down a list, I never shopped with a grocery list. Unless I specifically was following a recipe.
I know, it drove me insane.
And I'll, now when I'm in the grocery store, he'll be like, what else did we need? And I'm like, I stand there, and I, like, look at him, and he's like, what's the matter? I'm like, I can't remember. I was like, I've gotten to the point where, like, I'll walk down an aisle, and I can't remember why I walked down that aisle.
Mm-hmm.
And I've, after talking with Kate when I was doing my therapy consultation, and fun fact, if people don't know this, when your body goes into survival mode, it literally slows down every process going on in your body, including your thought processes and your digestion, your everything. She said literally everything slows down. Your metabolism, your thought processes, your digestion, anything your body can take its energy from and conserve it so that you are only putting all your energy into survival mode,
mm-hmm.
that's what it does. So that's why when you have experienced trauma, you can't fucking remember shit. Because also, mm-hmm. your body is working to protect yourself from the trauma. So it tries to block out all thoughts that are not necessary to survival.
Yeah.
And it's frustrating. It's frustrating beyond belief because for somebody like you, you've always had a hard time remembering things. So then when you throw something like survival mode and trauma on top of it, you're like, what the fuck is wrong with me? Because you're like, I already felt like I was fucked up. And now I feel like I'm 10 times more fucked up because now I can remember even less. And now Steph's not here to remind me. And now Steph can't remember shit, so we're all screwed.
The funny part of this all is that, like, when I broke a few months ago, like, when I stopped consistently making content for TikTok, like, I posted a few things here and there, but, like, when I stopped consistently posting, and then when I stopped consistently making stuff for Stay Wild, was right around the time where I just, like, snapped in half.
Mm-hmm.
And I was having, but this was also, like, thank God for Vyvanse for my spiritual awakening, because it fucking broke me. Not Vyvanse, excuse me, Strattera, because they put me on Strattera, and it was a wild ride. It was not for me. I have, like, literally the worst, and I think I've told you a little bit about that. But I was like a zombie. Like,
oh yeah, you were telling me a little bit.
Everything was so clouded and I felt like I was walking through Jell-O and all I wanted to do was sleep. And all I could do was think. Like, I felt like somebody who was in a coma in a hospital. Like, and my brain was awake, but my body was done. Like, so my brain was just going all these things I wanted to do. And then it started to shift, and it started to go into, like, all of these things that I hadn't accomplished yet, or I hadn't become, or the progress that I hadn't made, or this, that, and the other. And I just kind of broke, and I'm like, what the fuck am I doing? Like, I've made no progress. Like, I hate myself. Mm-hmm. When is this going to end? Like, I've made, like, I'm still the same person. I just kept saying, like, oh, I'm still the same person.
Yeah, you and get then into those.
I started reflecting, and I don't really know what the turning point was. Like, I didn't have any major aha moment, but, like, over detoxing off those meds and, like, going on to something different and really just, like, pulling away from all the things that were important that were putting pressure on me and just putting pressure on myself. Not putting pressure, that's the wrong word. Like, just focusing on myself.
Just going inward and releasing the pressure.
Really, really, really starting to look at, like, because the last almost 2 years of our podcast have been, like, looking into everyone else's problems and, like, the wide scope of trauma, which kind of sometimes encompassed our trauma. But, like, I never seriously started looking into mental illness stuff. Like, I did, but I didn't, you know. I just looked at the trauma side of things and how that mm-hmm. affects the brain. So I started looking at things and just, like, deep dive. Like, lost myself for, like, a month in just, like, looking at all of this. And I started to realize, like, there's nothing wrong with me.
Mm-mm. There never has been.
There's literally not a singular thing wrong with me. I'm just different. And there's nothing wrong with different. Mm-mm. Like, and people operate differently in our society. And, like, I'm never going to be one of those people who's like, fuck the government. Like, although I really do feel that way right now. But, like, our society was built to cater to people that don't have issues. It's very fast paced. It's very demanding. It's all the words that I can't fill in the blank with right now.
So one of the big issues with our society is, as fast as our societies have grown, our brain has not. Our brain has not evolved to the level of our technologies and this, that, and the other. So our brains are operating on a level that is not compatible with the way our world is created around us. You know what I mean? We have not evolved at the same speed. So, I mean, because when you even just look at the, when our parents were growing up, like, yeah, I'm sure there was a few kids that had ADD and ADHD. But then as the years have gone on, everything has increased incredibly. You know what I mean? With the rise of technology, our bodies have not caught up with that.
And our society depicts this, like, whole thing. Like, and I don't want to get into all of this because now we're going off on a tangent. I haven't even asked the questions I would like to ask for this episode. But, like, what do celebrities have? Like, so celebrities that are on, that the ones that are, like, A-list and they look like they have it all together. I can't think names right now. What do CEOs have? Like Jennifer Aniston? What does Jennifer Aniston have? What do CEOs have? What do politicians have? What do, I can't think of any, I'm trying to think right now, but, like, what do all of these people have in common?
The elite.
That they have support. They have a paid village. It's paid. But it's a village nonetheless. And so these people look and appear to the world.
Yeah, they don't function on their own.
Exactly.
I mean, look at the Kardashians. Prime example. Look at the Kardashians.
I don't mean the lesser minded, but when I was younger, like, I couldn't even conceptualize that. Like, I knew they had help, but it was just like my brain wasn't thinking that way. It was just like, you know, Taylor Swift is literally the worst example. I knew she had help, but, like, I would look at people running businesses.
Okay. So to piggy up back off of that, I remember seeing an article the other day that said how Kylie Jenner has tips and because she's living her best life. And I'm like, yeah, I could live my best life too if I was a millionaire, able to pursue everything I wanted in my life without having to worry about money. They have people who cook their meals, basically go shopping for them. They take care, they don't clean their houses. They don't take care of their children. They don't do normal things. Like, yes, they go to the gym because nobody can go to the gym for you. But they also have the availability If they want to go to the gym for 3 hours and then go to the spa, they can do that.
Like, it's so funny to me how people are like, they don't take care of their children. Because, like, I mean, they do to, like, what, like, I don't know what people's definition is of taking care of their children. Like, whatever individual.
I mean, like, they're not sitting at home all day long doing what
yeah,
you do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They have nannies and they have.
I wasn't like. Yeah. That wasn't a rebuttal exactly to what you were saying. It's more so like a rebuttal to the thought I was having before I even said it out loud.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny to me because I used to feel like so overwhelmed with Jacelyn and like never, I want to slap the dog shit out of people that are like, parenting is so tough. It is such a, what is it? Like not time consuming, but like, what's the word I'm looking for?
Like overwhelming.
It's so overwhelming. I feel like I don't have time for anything because that used to be me, and I want to go back about 5 years and just like uppercut me. Because after the last 8 months, it's like, y'all don't know shit about not having help.
Yeah.
And like, I really want to slap the dog shit out of like people like my mom who were like, I didn't have help. I did it by myself. And it's like, actually, you did. Like, literally, none of you knows what it feels like not to have help. Because yeah. Never again. Well, I complain. Never again. Like, even having Grace on FaceTime here, like, it's very minimal help, but, like, it's all that can be done. Or, like, you when you call, or, like, it just, like, nobody realizes what they have got till it's gone.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I'm bringing us back to our grief. Not having support within your grief is difficult. And I know for you and I, so much happened around the time that Matt died. And then when Emily died, it really just amplified everything. That it was hard for us to always be there for each other in our grief.
But it was so different to me. Because it was like for me here, I'm like, you know, Jazzy and I don't talk that often. And typically, oop, buddy, watch out. The microphone's right there. Yeah, I don't want to hear nothing about how y'all don't have help. I'm literally recording this episode with my son on my lap and grabbing the microphone. So, I don't want to hear nothing, ever, about. It's so hard to do it by myself. No. Nope. Watch out, bud. I forgot what I was going to say.
Oh, so what I was saying is, not that we couldn't be there for each other within our grief, but it was... There was, and you've said it before in other episodes, where you felt like at times when you really needed somebody, I couldn't be that person for you because you knew that I didn't have the emotional capacity to be there for you because I was too consumed in my own grief. You know what I mean? And at points I felt the same towards you. You know what I mean? That like when I was really in it, I didn't want to put more on you because I knew how much you were dealing with Emily and with Josh and with Zach and the kids and with Matt. Like it was a lot all over the place. So that was when you would talk to Grace about things and you would talk to Lindsay and I would talk to Will and I would talk to Ryan or Chrissy, especially because Chrissy unfortunately went through similar situations that we did, you know? So it was like, we always knew at the end of the day we could rely on each other, but we also tried really hard to recognize, which I give us a lot of props for this. We tried to recognize when the other person was not able to give us what we needed. And not in a selfish manner, but more or less because I'm like, I knew for me personally, I was like, shit, Jamie's got a full fucking plate. Like that shit is overflowing. And I know... If I ask her for something, she will do it. But I also know that me asking something could be the one thing that pushes it to the point where she can't do something for herself.
But it's so funny to me because like hearing you say that, it's like through the eyes and the perspective of what you may have needed. So glad I did that. But like also like for me, it's like sometimes I need to be kickstarted like a lawnmower.
Mm-hmm.
And so like, and if I... It's very similar to like
how many lawnmowers have you ever kickstarted?
None, but
I don't think that's quite how it works.
You know, when you're yanking the cord and it's just not going, and sometimes like I don't know. But like,
that's a pole star.
I've never mowed a lawn in my life.
That is not true. You helped me mow the lawn.
No, I didn't. I've never sat on that damn thing. I just sat and spectated. No,
we pushed if you the consider- lawnmower, remember? Didn't you use the push mower?
No, I literally stood there and cheered you on with a drink in hand. I'm the perfect housewife. But I'm so glad you remember it that way because, thank God, someone remembers me as helpful.
You've always been helpful. But continue. You said I would kickstart you, pull start you, whatever.
Yeah, no, like, it's funny because it's like sometimes that's what I need because very similar to the whole calendar thing. It's like out of sight, out of mind. And so, like, I physically sometimes will, like, months ago, like, it doesn't really feel this way now, but, like, if somebody asks me to do something for them, it kind of kickstarts me into moving, which then reminds me of all the things I need to do for myself. Like, but if they don't, it kind of reminds me of, like, being a robot, like iRobot in those movies. Like, I don't activate until someone enters the room.
Mm-hmm.
And then my owner, not for all intents and purposes, just enters the room and I spark up and I'm like, hi, hello, how can I help you today? And then I start my duties for the day.
Yeah, but you had two children you had to worry about. I just didn't want to put anything more on your plate. You know what I mean?
No, and I totally get that. But, like, that's why these episodes are so important. Because you and I are so, like, we've been through such similar things in a sense. But, like, we are also so vastly different. Like, when people don't ask me for things, I feel useless. Like, people asking me for things makes me feel important. And it makes me feel... And I'm, like, so secret. It's very selfish, too. Like, it's not just...
I'm no gift. I'm no energy.
No energy.
What?
You are correct. I have none. But what's so vastly different, now that I've tried to make this point five separate times, about you and I, is that we're two totally different people who have been through similar situations. And
you
I think it's...
You like this game.
I don't like this game, either. Are we talking about life?
Oh my god.
But we're so different. Like, you have your struggles, I have my struggles, and we feel appreciated and respected and helped and supported in different ways. And I think it's really important for us to, like, represent, you know, not that we make up the sum total of the world, but, you know.
No, but, I mean, the events that happened in our lives didn't, they weren't isolated events. Like, you losing, like, losing Emily didn't only affect you. And
yeah,
losing Matt didn't only affect me. Like, we were both affected by the situations. Yes, we may have been affected by one more than the other. And not in the sense of because one person was more important to us than the other, but just because of the closeness of the relationships. But to see how we are going through the same storms, and how we handle things differently, how we cope with it differently, how we process it differently, how we're at different stages of it than each other, you know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
I felt like you were really good off the bat of, like, diving into, maybe not right off the bat, but I feel like you were really good at really starting to focus on journaling and really turning inwards. And for me, I was in, I guess I was in survival mode a lot longer, and I felt like I just needed to try and rest and focus on, like, surviving the workday and wrapping up Matt's business. And I didn't feel like I really focused a lot on my self-care until I started, like, going on my walks and really starting working out. And
well, the big difference is because you were all but married to Matt and everything but law. And, like, you had a lot to wrap up. Like, you had a lot of responsibility.
No phone calls.
Yeah, no phone. We are not taking any phone calls. You had a lot to wrap up there, whereas, like, I felt like I was spinning. Like, as important as Emily became in my life, and as big a part, as big a part of my life as she became.
Yeah.
It was kind of like, I felt like I was just spinning because I'm like, there was more I wanted to do, more I wanted to help with, more I wanted to be, but like I couldn't because they didn't need that help from me.
Mm-hmm.
Like she has an amazing mother who just like had all, her mom had all the support in the world to handle all of this. And it's like, okay, what can I do? And so like, I had to put that energy into something, and we were using the same amount of energies, but in different areas.
Mm-hmm.
And so like, you know, that checks out, that makes sense. But like, as I was saying before, I was so rudely interrupted by Noah.
Can't get up there.
Can't get up where?
Up the chair.
Okay. As I was saying, like living here, like for me, it's been like honestly surprising how many people, the people that have called, the people that haven't called, the people that have stayed in touch and vice versa. And like honestly and truly just surprising. The people I thought that would, actually there was nobody I thought that would that hasn't. But there was people I thought that definitely wouldn't. And I was like, this is it. Like, when I leave, like, I'm pretty much going to sever this friendship.
Mm-hmm.
Until, unless I ever move back. And they have surprised me. Like, a lot. Like, they call frequently. They FaceTime. And it's like, okay, well, that's cool. And so, like, it's related to grief in the sense that, like, you got a hall pass almost, like, because we, it was just like, I didn't ever expect anything of you or from you.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't. And then, like, so when I moved here, but there were certain friends where I didn't expect anything from or of, because it was like, I've been there and I totally know how it is. And those two people were Jazzy and Miranda, because it's like, they have newborns. I just know how it goes.
Yeah.
You know? And now Miranda has surprised me, but Miranda also has a lot of support. Jazzy, not as much support, and I haven't heard from her as often, which, mm-hmm. but I literally not once have had a single ill feeling, because I went into this expecting it. I'm like, you know what? We've been friends since the fourth grade, like super close friends. And so I was never truly worried about the state of our friendship. I was moving out here because I wanted to experience the West Coast. I've always wanted to live out here. So like, again, I don't regret it. But like, yeah, just in saying that, I came out here with the expectation that Jazzy and I wouldn't be talking as much, because that's just where she's at in life. And like, not once have I had an ill feeling or ill thought or like, you know, like, she doesn't even care or anything like that, because it's like, I've been where she's at. She has virtually no support by her own choice. You know, she's gone no contact, and like, she's going through the thick of it right now with two kids. I get it. So I try to be there as much as I possibly can, but I'm kind of in a similar boat. So, and so I say all of that to say that I literally had no expectations of you going into all of that. Like, even when we moved in together before Emily was murdered, it was like, I had no expectations of you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not a single one. Like, I didn't expect you to help me unpack. I didn't, you help being over at my house and doing everything you did in the bedrooms was a pleasant surprise. Like, I had fully in my head been like, okay, so I'm going to have to paint this. I'm going to have to do this. I'm going to have to do that. I'm going to have to get all of my stuff in. Where are we going to put that? While I unpack, you know, or not unpack, but like, but I moved into your house 100% expecting to do everything that, or most everything that you had done. Like, I was like, how am I going to clean out this computer? Like, not how. And I wasn't like, oh my God, how am I going to do it?
Yeah.
Like, thinking logistically, not overwhelming.
The water is so dangerous. So now.
Yeah. Well, I think it's also kind of one of those things where it's like, when you're going through it and you feel that it might not be the same pain, but it's such a similar pain, like sudden loss, like you don't have to lose the same person to understand the sting of sudden loss.
Yeah.
And when you're going through the same thing as someone else, similar thing, it's like, I think people don't understand how that changes expectations of others. Because like, there's no way in hell I could be there the way that I expected them to be there for me.
Mm-hmm.
No way. Not even earthly possible at that point in time. So why the hell would I expect that from someone else?
Yeah. Well, Judge Jamie.
Yeah. Now that we're done talking shit about all of you. Just kidding. The people we were talking shit about definitely don't listen to our podcast. And we weren't talking shit. We were just telling truths. Different perspectives. But anyways,
hard
I
truths,
digress.
Right?
So,
this episode is take two because Jamie's still learning how to tame her squirrely ass brain.
Well, I mean, it's not really take two because I just posted the other episode part of it.
Oh, you posted it like on the interweb?
Well, I didn't post it in Morse code. So, yes, it's on the interwebs,
Grandma Jamie. So people Jamie. Are going to hear.
It's actually really good. Like, again, as we always do, we sit here and we're like, oh, we babbled for 2 hours and we have no good content. And then I got to a point where I was like, fuck, I can't cut the podcast off here because we're actually saying good shit. So, yes, it's only like, how long is it?
Oh, no, you cut out.
Am I still cutting out?
You just cut out for what you said. You said it's only like...
I bet you it cuts out when I switch tabs on the internet. I bet you that's what the problem is. But so it's easily like 45 minutes, the last episode. And there's some good shit in it there, even though we did have squirrel brains.
Yeah, we definitely had squirrel brains. Like, but also we haven't talked. Yes. So it's kind of like we also catch up and it's like, oh my God. Like, and one thing that you'll say or I say like reminds us of something. And just, I listened to a podcast the other day, speaking of, see, here we go again. And they were like, yeah, we do a mini series. I'm like, the fuck is a mini series? So I looked it up. These bitches talk for like 10 to 15 minutes. Those are their episodes. And I'm like, how? Imagine being that on task. And then I listened to it.
I don't really want to be like that though, because
I don't want to be like that either.
The hard thing with miniseries is I'm like, I feel like I get really invested into the episode and then it's over.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, what am I supposed to do now? That's how I felt
too. I'm like, go more in depth into it. Talk about it. You just kind of skim the surface. And I listened to it because it was one of their first like episodes, and I smiled because I was like, oh, this was Steph and I a year ago. Like, I already learned this. I just wanted to hear what you had to say. And then they just skim the surface. I'm like, there's so much more you've left out.
I know. And here we are.
Here we are. So.
We are.
And I love us.
Me too.
We won't go off on that tangent because stay tuned for our upcoming episodes about self-love. But we wanted to wrap up our Friendship Through series with a Friendship Through Grief. And I'm sure you heard on the last episode that I was disappointed about wanting my cousin Kyle to join. And then I kicked myself because at like 4 o'clock today, my time, I was like, you know what I could have done? I could have just sent him these questions and had him rattle off a few answers. And I'm just irritated at myself. So maybe in the future. But I swear to you guys, you will be graced with Kyle's eloquence. Is that even a word? At some point.
I think, honestly, I know a few people I feel like we could bring on, especially because like neither of us have lost a parent. So we don't know what it's like to grieve a parent, one that has actually deceased, not one that we have told ourselves has since deceased. You know what I mean? Like,
yes, yes.
So,
yes.
And then like neither of us have lost a sibling, and we know a few people that have lost siblings, you know?
Yeah,
so I feel like there's, unfortunately, there's so much room to talk about grief.
I mean, there's a lot of room to bring people on. I was just more or less like, I just love the way my cousin speaks. He just hits you in the heart. And he's just so well-spoken. He's so intelligent. And I have so much respect for him. And I'm like, people need to hear you. And he spent a majority of his life, you know, Kyle's very creative and very much like me. It's one project after the other, after the other. And like, he gets squirrel-brained and he gets distracted, and like some projects come to fruition, some don't. And I'm like, I want the world, like, you know, to hear you. I want you to be on the podcast. You deserve to be heard.
Listen.
And maybe I'm a little biased.
We went to the Da Vinci experience at the Biltmore, and apparently that's how Leonardo da Vinci operated within his life. Like, he would start a project and then move to another and then move to another and another and another until Michelangelo yelled at him and told him he was a disgrace to the art world because he didn't ever finish anything. And then he started finishing his projects and became one of the most famous artists in the world.
Oh my gosh, that's great. Maybe I just need to tell Kyle he's a disgrace.
And he'll probably look at you and be like, it takes one to fucking know one, Jamie.
That's literally exactly what he would say. Our love language is him calling me a loser. Literally. Yes. That's our relationship. Like, it is the most broed out relationship that there is. But there's also so much intelligence there. Last time he called me, he's like, I'm taking a break. I'm in my car. And I'm like, okay. And we start off like the normal conversation. next thing I know, we're like 45 minutes in and we're talking about aliens and alternate universes. And like, we're just going. And he's like, I've got to go back to work. But oh my God. And we
Oh my God,
how do you work under these conditions? And he's like, stop talking. He's like, if you keep talking, I'm going to stay on the phone.
And then I'm going to quit my job and then I'm going to be in big trouble.
I have so much to add to this. Stop talking. And I'm like, okay, fine. But yes. So yes, one day you guys will be blessed with my own personal Leonardo.
Mm-hmm.
Da Vinci, not DiCaprio. But yeah, no, we wanted to end this. And cousin Kyle was, wow, I just sounded like Amish or something. Sister Kyle, brother Kyle was going to join us. was going to join us. And that's not Amish, Jamie. Jesus Christ, what is that? Catholic.
Catholic people sound like something?
No, it's like brother, and they call each, like, they refer to each other, like the nuns, especially, like Sister Stephanie.
Oh my God, that's do you know Mackenzie just found out that nuns were real? Like, she thought they were made up. She goes to me, Aunt Steffi, did you know nuns were real? I was like, yeah. She's like, I thought they were, like, made up. I was like what? like Bigfoot made up? Like, what do you mean? She's like, I didn't think they were real.
I cannot wait until Jaclyn gets a little bit older to like start learning things in school and realizing this stuff.
When she saw one in church and was like,
what is that?
Well, did you think they were just in horror movies? Like, I don't know what to tell you.
Oh my God. That's hysterical. That's so funny. Zach's sending me all these pictures of Noah brushing his hair, and you can't see, but Aww. Yeah, it's very cute. He's so getting cute. Him to brush his own hair. Thank God.
I highly enjoyed that TikTok about Noah.
He was mad at me. I sat down for like the first time that morning, and I opened TikTok for just a second, and that was the first sound that popped up. And I was like, you know what?
So this is after you had already argued with him?
Yes, because he was like, go home, Lupus Steppy.
That's what he was saying.
He was yelling at me. He was mad. He's like, I'll go home and Lupus Steppy. He's like, you won't let me.
He's going to let him run around outside in flip flops?
I think. Yeah, I mean, I just think he has a different memory of you or something. I'm like, are you sure you're talking about Steph? Like, I would be the one more likely to let you run around barefoot in the snow. Like, are we talking about the same step here? Like, I don't know.
My step and your step are apparently two different people.
So Steph and I wanted to wrap up this series. It's insane that we're wrapping up a series. Do you remember when we were planning? Again, I'm going off into a tangent that we're going to be discussing in the next episode. But we were planning. Like, we have so many episodes and ideas and series planned for y'all.
Well, we still have one more episode, but we're finishing up the friendship.
Yes, like this is the end of the friendship part of the series. Yeah. Like, yeah, so we have one more of the primal wounds to go. But like, it's just insane to me that I remember we were sitting down planning this whole thing. And like, I was so excited and I definitely wanted to do it. But I'm much like Kyle, start a project. Some come to fruition, some don't. So like, I try not to put so much hope. So I was like, a part of me was kind of like, oh my God, this might not happen. You know, we might call it quits. I might move to Washington and it's just not going to work. And I'm like, we're about to start on our new series. We're about to sit down and plan shit. Like, this is fucking insane to me.
We're about to almost be in our third year of podcasting.
That's insane to me.
I know.
So we thought, well, not we thought, but I thought today that, you know, how appropriate is it? We didn't plan it this way. Actually, it was planned, I think, completely opposite. But how appropriate that we wrap up the Friendship Through series with what started the podcast.
That is true. Yeah, we did think it was probably going to be more like the first episode
in
the series.
Well, because it was what we felt most comfortable talking about at the time. Mm-hmm. You know, what we had. I mean, we had definitely, it was just what was at front of mind. So
absolutely.
We had written out a few questions. Words are hard. There it is, guys, for the episode. And I was going to kind of rattle off the questions just to get them out to Steph. And so you guys can hear what we are going to talk about over the next couple 30 minutes, 45, hopefully. Hopefully we'll keep it short. So you guys can stick around or fast forward through the questions or whatever you want to do. So the first question is, how would you have better felt better supported or understood during that period of time? What are some things that people could do to be better friends during this time? And what if they're long distance friends? Like, so just basically, how could you and I have felt better supported during the era of Matt and Emily? And like the era, it feels like an era, but during the
fucking era,
the period right after, like those first 6 to 8 or to a year, you know. And what are some things that our listeners could do to try and be better friends? Like, obviously, let's not list out common sense things. Our listeners are smart. So just like try to get really specific with things.
As we've mentioned before, I feel like one of the hardest parts about grief is that like what I need is different than what you need.
Mm-hmm.
And what I think you need, you may not even think you need that, or you may not even realize you need that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, so I feel like that can be hard. Granted, hindsight is 2020. Like, I think one of the biggest things is just try and bring a sense of normalcy to that person's life. Like, everything is so unnormal at that point that like, yes, please sit there down and ask them how they're doing, if they want to talk about it. But also like, be like, hey, you want to go see a movie?
Yeah.
Because you know what? If you take me to see a movie, I don't have to talk. You know yeah. what I mean? Like, it's already set in stone that we're not going to have to talk to each other. But you're still spending time with each other and you're still doing something that's quote unquote normal without mm-hmm. the expectations of having to sit there and extend all of this extra energy, you know?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, piggybacking off that and going back to like how we individually would have felt better supported, it's so related to that. And I think that what you said about everyone being different and what they need, I think when you're approaching someone who's grieving, you first need to know and kind of like have an idea of what their normal is, because it might not even touch what's close to your normal. You know what I mean? Everyone has different hobbies and likes and dislikes and schedules and like, and whatnot. And, you know, when you're really trying to care for someone who's grieving, it's like, it really does matter. Like, what, you don't try and impose your normal onto them.
Yeah.
And change anything or fix anything. You know, you don't try to fix them. You try your best to adhere to their normal for them. So if dinner gets cooked at 6 every night, you don't sit there. You kind of, you have to be really emotionally intelligent and in tune with the person. Like, I wasn't back then. I was kind of, but, you know, like, for you, like, but I was also grieving. So like, I didn't even know, you know what I mean? Like, we were just so emotionally detached mm-hmm. that it was hard to emotionally read others because we didn't even yeah. want to emotionally read ourselves in some points.
And we were also trying to like rein in emotions with the kids, you know
yeah,
what I mean?
For sure.
To, like, not lose our shit in front of them and try and still keep somewhat a sense of, for Noah it was easier because he didn't really know what was going on, but to try and keep things normal for Jace, like, That was hard.
Well, Jinx. Because
it, you know, it went from you guys being in your house to living in my house, and it was just you and Zach were going to get separated, and Uncle Matt has passed away. And then mm-hmm. the next thing we know,
and Aunt Emily isn't doing good. You yeah. know, she's dating a bad man. Like, those yep. the things that the kid do. Like, yeah, Emily wasn't around because of this, and it was just yeah, it was a lot. But like,
and then the next thing we know, Emily's murdered.
Yeah, and then it would just kind of just, you know, it felt like we were scrambling, trying to, like, balance so many different plates, and then a Mack truck came in from a blind spot.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, because I could have, you know, like, obviously I love the hell out of Matt, but, like, he wasn't my partner.
Yeah.
So, like, that hit you way harder than it hit me. And so it's like, okay, I can step in for Steph, like, you know, I could differentiate because I had lost people, like, my marriage falling apart was devastating in its own respect, but it was not somebody dying, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not saying yours is more than mine or divorce is more
yeah,
or less
yeah, painful, yeah.
But for me personally, like, I could personally conceptualize, like, I know what loss feels like. This is just brutal compared to what I'm going through, like, but where was I going to go with that? So, like, I stepped into the situation being like, okay, I'm going to have to create my new normal and a new normal for the children. But I can also, like, balance a few of Steph's plates and, like, help her, too. Like, I do have that expendable energy.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I'm kind of, like, trying to help and then get hit by a fucking Mack truck.
Yep.
And we both got taken out. And because I couldn't prepare for it in any way, shape, or form, like losing someone a normal way, like aging or cancer. Like, I don't mean normal, but just like a longer term death. It was like I was not only smacked and blindsided, I was like critically injured.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I can't help my friend. I can't help myself. I can barely help my kids. And that's why, like, as much as I cannot stand and I'm ashamed and embarrassed of my past dating with Josh, like looking back and reflecting on that, I'm like, he very may well have kept me alive during that period of time.
Probably.
Because like, if I didn't have that, I don't know. Cause he, you know, despite all of his flaws and stuff, he brought a joy. He had this contagious joy and fun spirit that he brought with him, no matter how dark and sad everything was. And so it was kind of like he gave me this reason to continue to want to experience that joy because I hadn't healed from my trauma of abuse.
Yeah.
And so, like, it was definitely a trauma bond in the sense that I was like, ooh, I like this attention. It was definitely toxic. But because my addiction to that toxicity was so strong,
mm-hmm.
it was like I had to keep going back to feed it no matter how sad I was. And it kept me a fucking alive for sure.
I can see that. I can definitely see that.
Now, I'm not saying any of that's healthy, but just reflecting back on like behaviors.
But there's also like a reason why he was put in our lives at the time he was.
But like, I'm just so appreciative. Like it. Like once I realized that, was this whole new level of like, wow, everything happens for a reason. And I hate that phrase so much.
I like to think more that like every person has a role. And like, just like there's a timing for everything, not necessarily like there's always a reason for the timing, opposed to like there's a like everything happens for a reason.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's a reason, like there's a reason why he walked into our house in the beginning of September, a month and a half before Emily got murdered.
Yeah, and
like there's a reason why, because he had already started to help. I remember sitting around the house that first night that he came over, and it was me, you, and Wit, and we were just sitting there and we were talking, and I remember laughing. And I think I remember at one point you and I were both like, wow, we haven't laughed like this, you know, like we haven't like just sat back and relaxed and like, and it, Matt had only been gone just a month,
mm-hmm.
but like so much was jam packed into that month.
Mm-hmm. 100%. I remember, I mean, you and I always cut up together. We always laugh our asses off.
Oh my God.
But like, you know, even in the worst, in the thick of it, we were still able to laugh. But like, that was just a different kind of laughter. That was like the very rare kind of laughter where you're like, I don't have bladder issues, but I actually might piss my pants.
Yes. During that time, that was when I truly learned that like laughter is the best medicine, because when you are laughing that hard, like,
and that's all we were doing,
you truly just feel alive again. Like you just truly feel alive again. So I think so much of like, if you really want to support your friend while they are grieving, just try and make them feel normal, because that's the last thing they feel like, truthfully.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't have to be anything extravagant. Like, it could just be like, you want to eat pizza and watch a movie.
Yeah, no, I just think back and I'm like, wow, that's so crazy. But going back to what I was, my initial thoughts on that was like, try to adhere to that person's normal, which is what I was going to try to provide to you, like, you know, and also create my new normal. But you know, like, if they have dinner, if they eat dinner at 6 and you have the availability and the desire and stuff in those periods of time, you know, and that's what you've committed to as a friend or a family member of that person. You know, if they eat dinner at 6, don't sit there and encourage them to get up and cook dinner. Don't make them, don't shame them or make them feel lazy, or like, don't think this is a time to be that cheerleader or that, you know, football coach attitude, like, get up and do it. This is not the time. This is the time for you to get up and start making dinner at 6. And also, just don't ask them what's for dinner. Don't ask where things are. Look, use your eyeballs.
Yeah, be proactive. You
don't put a single ounce of anything onto them. Just keep talking about the weather, whatever is in common. Talk about things normally. Keep the conversation normal. If they start to talk about the loved one, engage.
And if you have nothing to say, you can say that. Like, it is so okay to say, I have no words. I truly have nothing to say. And I'm sorry that I have, like, people generally aren't looking for you to say something. Sometimes, yes, we are looking for you to say something to make us feel better. But we also know that, truthfully, no matter what you say is not going to make us feel better. So even if you just acknowledge the fact that, like, look, I'm sorry, I can't even imagine what you're going through, is a hell of a lot better than, oh, well, everything happens for a reason, or they're in a better place, or, you know.
And for the love of God, I mean, I know this is common sense to a degree, but I guess not, because we both we both experienced this. I know we did, but, like, maybe me a little bit more than you. Do not, if you want, have a desire, and you're, like, feeling like you want to do community service and you haven't talked to this person, don't overly offer. It's like, no, because we all, Steph and I both knew, we would look at each other and smile, and it's like, how long before this person starts digging for answers about what happened?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because there's always an ulterior motive, and there wasn't a single person who came out of the woodwork for no fucking reason, and we weren't, I'm talking about acquaintances. If you used to be best friends in high school, like, that's a little different.
Yeah.
But there was people that definitely came out and were like, how can I help? You want to go get lunch, coffee, my treat? And I'm like, we haven't talked.
Mm-hmm.
And they keep trying. And then it's like, so, you know, like, so sorry for what happened. Da-da-da. So what happened?
Yeah.
And I'm like, there it is. Mm-hmm. None of your fucking business is what happened. You're in the long game to be nosy as shit, you little snitch.
So right before the 1 year anniversary of Matt passing, his best friend's little brother committed suicide. And I remember somebody asking me what happened. And I was like, I don't know, and it doesn't matter. I was like, when John is ready to tell me what happened, that's for him to decide. I was like, it doesn't matter. All I know is his brother's no longer here. And that's all that matters.
Yeah, that annoys me when people ask me, like, if I've shared something with someone I barely know, they're like, do you know what happened? Like, it's some gossip fest.
Yeah. And I know we've all been there. Like, we've all, I mean, like, and don't get me wrong, sure, you're curious, but at the end of the day, once you've been through what we've gone through, it doesn't matter the reason. I don't care if Jesus Christ himself came down from the heavens and picked him up and gave him a fucking piggyback ride. I don't care.
No.
I don't care.
I would also like to side note that, like, I'm also, in very parallel to that, the person that will spend 2 hours online trying to figure out what happened, even if it involves reading throughout all the comments. But you will never find me asking someone, because I believe it is just, like, so rude. But I definitely will dig to try to find out, yeah, because I'm so curious.
But we're all curious. And you can't fault that. It's human nature. But don't try and take a quote-unquote genuine interest in somebody just to find out why their heart has been shattered into a million fucking pieces.
Yeah.
Because that's just shitty. That is just absolutely shitty, because I had people reach out to me about Matt.
It's selfish and self-serving, and it just speaks to, like, who you are, and that person is so raw and vulnerable and just, like, ripped wide the fuck open. Like, why would they want to engage with anyone that has ulterior motives or different intentions? Like, no, no thank you. Because it just speaks to who you are as a person. Yeah. You're very self-serving, so you're not genuinely there, like, to help me. You might think you are, you might feel like you are, but, like, you haven't really sat with your own feelings and intentions yet then.
Mm-hmm.
If that question ever comes up. It's a huge telltale to me of someone's character. So keep a sense of normalcy. Whatever we just talked about, I don't know how to give it a name.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it's still respecting privacy.
Like, respecting privacy.
It just doesn't matter. You know what I mean? If they want to tell you, they will tell you. You know, but, like, all that matters is that the person that they love is no longer here. And that's all. That's literally all you need to fucking know. It doesn't matter if it was cancer. It doesn't matter if it was a car accident. It doesn't matter if it was a murder, a suicide. It just does not matter.
We are so grateful to those of you who have allowed us to take up space in your lives and supporting us while we share some of our most vulnerable moments.
As James said, your support means the world to us. So we would absolutely love to know your thoughts on the show. So please leave us a review on any of our platforms. And also make sure to follow us on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. The links are posted in our show notes.
This concludes your tour with Stay Wild Trauma Child. Please remain seated until...
Oh, God, James. Thank you for listening. We love you. And as always,
stay wild.